Oakman's a nickname, of course. His real name is Dan Kaiser, but Oakman's also an identity. He's an arborist. He's lived for decades in the attic apartment of an old house in South Minneapolis. It's not much space, but he uses every inch he can for his plants. Out back, he has a tree nursery pushed against the alley, where he's growing oaks from acorns under chicken wire to guard against rabbits and squirrels. In the front yard, there's oak, quaking aspen, northern catalpa, big trees he planted years ago. And there's more in neighbors' yards up and down the block. I've never met anyone who loves trees so much, but he has a sort of Eeyore-ish attitude about the whole thing.
Over the decades, I've learned not to get attached to my trees. I've got a lot of trees going, but a lot of them have been cut down by idiots.
Idiots. Like people who bang around with their lawnmowers, taking out saplings. That's a big pet peeve. And then some trees, no matter how well cared for, they just don't survive.
I had a Quercus acutissima, which is from Southeast Asia.
Quercus is the Latin name for oak.
And it's a beautiful tree and big girth and branches and yay! And then this spring, it dead.
Sometimes Oakman is out pruning in the evening. He has long hair and a long beard he keeps in a single braid under his chin. He's soft-spoken, and he'll wander in his thoughts, but you usually end up with a little nut, an acorn of wisdom in the end. Like, every tree is an individual. He says that often. Every tree is an individual. And like individual people, he remembers individual trees long after they've died. In fact, there are four trees, four oaks in particular, that hold a special place for him. They were four bur oaks, Quercus macrocarpa. They grew near the banks of the Mississippi, where it meets the Minnesota River near Minnehaha Falls. That's also where Oakman got his name.
Is that 54th?
Yeah.
He told me the story with the help of his old friend, Susu Jeffrey.
It was right on Highway 55, in the median.
She came over and they hovered over a map of the Twin Cities, trying to find the exact spot where the trees once grew.
Let's see, the road...
About 55th Street.
Their fingers traced a section of the highway, where it veers from its otherwise straight path to take a little elbow bend toward the river.
This is where we park cars to go to the Four Oaks. Bend in the Red Road.
Back in the 90s, this land they're pointing to was tree-covered. The state was looking to expand a route between downtown Minneapolis and the airport to become what we now know as Highway 55. There was a big movement to stop it. Susu was part of it. She says at one point she heard about four trees in the woods, four particularly majestic oaks. Like many trees, they were slated to come down. She told Dan about them, and they realized those oaks could be a striking symbol of what could be lost. Together, they made a plan. They went out on a Thanksgiving morning when they knew they wouldn't be bothered and cleared away all kinds of buckthorn and bramble so the trees would really stand out. They talk about it as something of a shrine.
Right. And then what did it look like after, like if you were to paint a picture?
It looked like a cathedral. It was a cathedral.
I cut down sumac and I took a spray paint, made white dots, and I made a trail. And then I made a sign that said, Noble Oaks, Four Noble Oaks this way.
This opposition to the highway, it wasn't just a small neighborhood protest. It was a really big deal.
We down yonder in the Minneapolis where sprawl is a major crop. Department of Transportation's planned a road through a favorite park.
This is from a CD of protest songs from the time. Environmental activists came in from all over the country, and it became a major focus for a Native American community, the Mendota Dakota, who traced their roots to the area. Protesters occupied the land for more than a year, and the oaks, Dan's four noble oaks, became a central symbol of the fight. Native people believed the trees to be sacred, standing in the four directions, perhaps planted, they thought, by their ancestors. Others just saw them as beautiful trees, thought to be as old as the state of Minnesota itself.
We're gonna have to stop the rerot, you and me. We're gonna have to stop the rerot, you and me.
In the end, though, the highway won out. The state cleared the land, tree by tree. In some cases, activists had to be hauled out of branches where they were camping out as a last resort. I asked Susu and Oakman if they stayed to see the four oaks come down.
I was going to jail. I was gone. Thank God I didn't have to watch that. I was under arrest, handcuffed, sitting in some kind of transport, but you were there.
Yeah, as things were getting bad and our efforts were being futile, that's when my back went out. I was crippled with pain. And I remember you flagged down a cop car and told him to give me a ride to the site. Yeah. So I got a ride, and the cop car pulls up to where it's all marked off in the circle of the last stand, I called it. The last stand.
I went out there recently to see what's left. There's nothing to mark where the Four Oaks once stood, but you can look out at the highway from an access road nearby.
There's sort of an overpass crossing over and an underpass going under, and lots of cars going by. So what's left of the trees today is pavement and cars.
This is the story most people know. The land was cleared, the highway went through, the protesters dispersed. But there's another piece, too, that I find remarkable, that the people who tried to save the trees also made an effort to keep them alive even after they were cut down.
When did the idea to try to graft the trees, how did that come up? And
it's harder for Dan to talk about this part. I don't know exactly why, but maybe it's because those trees had become such an emotional symbol for so many people. The stakes were so high and the odds they felt were so long.
This is amazing, because what they say about grafting oak trees is it cannot be done, okay? But they live.
Dan says people were asking him what they should do, what they could do to keep the trees, or at least some part of them, alive after they were chainsawed down. The truth was, he didn't know. There was no obvious answer.
Yeah, well, the four trees didn't have any acorns. There were, squirrels probably got them.
But he thought of a group he's part of, the International Oak Society. He reached out to the president.
He said, well, you can... There's a guy, Earl Cawley. He's an expert.
Dan says he'd tried to graft oaks before, to fuse cuttings to the rootstock of other trees and keep them alive. But he'd never been able to do it, and he didn't know anyone else who could. But he called this expert, Earl Cawley, in Illinois, and Cawley said he'd give it a shot. He told Dan to collect scion wood, the most recent year's growth. Twigs, essentially, from the tips of the branches, about the size of a pencil. Dan crossed police lines to get the cuttings when the trees were lying on the ground. He then brought the wood down to Illinois. A couple years later, miraculously, Cully called, said the trees were growing, they were ready to go. Dan says he planted them on a snowy day in April on the grounds of the oldest Catholic church in Minnesota, St. Peter's in Mendota, which sits on a bluff across the river from where they used to grow. The Mendota Dakota held a ceremony for the planting, and Dan says afterward, they gave him an eagle feather and an honorary Dakota name, meaning Great Oak Man. Many of the Native leaders involved in the protest have passed away, but the current Mendota Dakota chairwoman, Sharon Leonardson, says the trees are still used in ceremonies, and she goes out often to check on them.
They're like my kids, my grandbabies. Well, they're actually older than me.
2019 marks 20 years since the original oaks came down, and last weekend at their annual powwow, the Mendota Dakota community honored Dan for his work.
He's been taking care of those trees since they've been planted. And I just said, you know what? This is the year we're going to honor Dan, the Oak Man.
Every tree is an individual. Of the four oaks, some are doing better than others. But the North Oak dropped a whole load of acorns last year. So Dan says he's now looking for homes for the second generation. For KFAI, I'm Brita Green.